read the last verse also, because that's the important verse that we read today. Let's read together the last one. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water." And they obeyed him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to know this Jesus. Help us, Lord, to experience the power and the love of this Savior. Lord, we want to leave this place amazed. We want to leave this place, oh God, just rekindled again. That we will continue to ask, who's this Jesus? That even the winds and the waves, they obey him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I may ask you, when was the last time, you know, that you marveled at what God was doing in your life? When was the last time? You know, when we travel, we look at things, you know, we look at the beautiful scenery, and we marvel and we say, Lord, how wonderful is your creation, right? My wife and I have this expensive habit. We love to travel, right? We were driving in New Zealand, you know, we just marveled in some of the things that's in that part of the world. The mountains, the landscapes are so beautiful. When was the last time, you know, that you looked at your life and say, Lord, I marvel that you have done this thing in my life. And I've been, you know, praying for this, but you did much more greater thing in my life. Lord, I've been just seeking your guidance in my life, but you surprised me. When was the last time, you know, God even surprised you or you marveled at God's greatness and goodness? The passage that is just read to us today is an interesting passage. If you look at the passage together, we will look at it. You know, it says, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? Can you imagine the disciples who were with the Lord Jesus Christ for this not less than 3 years by this time? They were with Jesus. They just lived their life with him. They ate together with him. They almost shared the same place that Jesus was sleeping. They went together, visiting homes, doing all kinds of ministry. Probably by now, right? It's not just 1 month or 2 months, more than that. Every day, 24/7, they were spending their time with the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew what he likes to eat, the places that he likes to visit, the kinds of people that Jesus was ministering to. They knew. But even then, they were asking this question, who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters. In Mark we read, even the waves, they obey him. I believe God always wants to surprise his people. He wants us to marvel with him. Like the way we were singing the song, you know, the more we know Jesus, the more we get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to marvel us. You know, before they made this statement, what was happening? I think all of us are familiar with the passage, right? It says, I have the next slide. So before they marveled, they said, you know, Master, Master, we are going to drown. We are going to drown. And then they said, you know, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? You know, when I look at this particular passage, you know, many times we tend to look at the disciples. We tend to address the fears of the disciples. It's good to look from that perspective also. It's good to see that, you know, even in our life, there are different challenges, there are different struggles that we face. And how do we face? Those are wonderful things for us to look at. But today, I just want to spend my time, you know, looking at it, Christ. Because every time I look at Scripture, every time I see an incident that's happening in the Bible, it's not just another story for us to read, enjoy, you know, and to just laugh about it and to see what's happening. But every story, every event that takes place in Scripture reveals about who God is, who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's why when you read from Genesis to Revelation, in every passage you see God has been revealed. You tend to see the attributes of God projected in all these passages. I believe God orchestrated all these things for us to know Christ. You know, these disciples who were with him for this period of time did not really know him. Can you imagine spending every time and energy? They left everything for Jesus. They journeyed along with him. But even then, the Lord surprised them. He even marveled their spirit. And today, I think we want to look at, you know, and Christ, about Jesus, who this Jesus is. So that every time when you read God's word, you will tend to see who Jesus is. Every time something happens in your life, you begin to see, what is Christ trying to do in my life? When you're in a particular event in your life, when you're struggling, what is Christ trying to teach me, talk to me? What is Christ, you know, why did he allow these things in my life? I believe nothing happens to us by accident, my friend. God has a divine purpose, and he wants to reveal himself to us. And it's our Christian responsibility to discover where is God in all these things. Even in our sickness, Paul writes, right, even when he was in prison, he was able to rejoice because he knew that God allowed him to be there. Because when Paul was there, he was able to write the prison letters. Those letters were great encouragement to the churches. So I want to see three things about Christ in this particular passage, which is important for us. It helps us to see Christ even in the various situations that we face. The next one, slide, if you look at it, it talks about the problem with Jesus. Maybe some of you might not like the way it sounds, right? But, you know, it is, I've stated it differently, right? It is not to say it in a very negative way. But when you look at the passage very carefully, when you look at Jesus, what's happening? Right? The other disciples were worried because there was a storm, there was a squall. In other words, it was very severe. We do not know which part of the day. Probably it was at night or daytime, because Luke doesn't talk about the time. And these guys were, you know, let me tell you, they were fishermen. The sea was the bread and butter to them. They knew the sea pretty well. They know how to face the rough seas. But they were afraid. And they came to Jesus and said, Master, Master, don't you care? In Mark we read, he says, don't you care? When you look at this particular passage, Jesus is fast asleep. You know, sometimes I do not know when we travel, right? I must share my experience with you. Whenever I travel overseas, I try to do a lot of work before going up into the plane. So when I'm in the plane, I'm almost snoring. And my wife will wake me up, and I will almost be snoring. And then I will ask her, as they've taken off, then she will say, they have left almost an hour ago. Because even with that sound, I can still sleep. What's happening there? Jesus is sound asleep, right? And these disciples were very frustrated. You know, when you look at the passage, you see that Christ is very indifferent. Why is he behaving like that? You know, he should be the first one, because he is our leader. He is our captain. He is our shepherd. You know, he is our rabbi. He should be the one who should first to react and say, calm down. He should be the one. But what's happening in this particular passage? He is sound asleep. He is sound asleep. When you look at it, you know, it looks like as if Jesus is very indifferent. Some of us will say, you know, maybe Jesus wanted to test your faith. I do not know. Or some of us will say, you know, Jesus wanted to know where, you know, they are going to seek some kind of help. I do not know. But when I look at this particular passage, I also see that when you look at the passage, the next slide, you see the humanity of Christ being revealed. That's one of the observations that I begin to see, just the humanity of Christ. You know, when you look at Scripture, many times what happens, you know, we tend to see the divinity of Christ. But many a times, have you realized, we fail to see the humanity of Christ. Because Scripture does not only speak about the divinity of Christ, but also about the humanity of Christ. Because if you look at the life of Jesus, he was busy. He was teaching, he was preaching, he was visiting, he was healing the sick. Can you imagine? He was working every minute, and he's so tired. When a person is tired, he doesn't know. They're fast asleep. And Jesus was fast asleep. When you look at Scripture, you know, John emphasizes mostly on the divinity of Christ. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you know, they emphasize on the humanity of Christ because they want us to see the importance of the humanity of Christ. Why? Why? Because when we look at the humanity of Christ, then we realize, you know, if Jesus in this particular passage, it's a very theological thinking, but I must share with you that Jesus is 100% human and 100% God or divine. Sometimes our human mind cannot comprehend. For example, you know, a square is a square. A circle is a circle. A circle cannot be a square because that's the way our human mind thinks. But in this particular passage, we see that Christ is human. Totally. He's tired. He's tired after a long ministry. And he's fast asleep. At the same time, you see the divinity of Christ, which is revealed. I believe God allowed this to happen so that each and every one of us will know that Christ was human, my friend, when he came into this world, even though he was divine. Today, many struggle with this issue, right? Many, when you share the gospel, one of the things they will say, how can a human become a man, a God? Even in Islam, that's a struggle. They can't imagine God becoming human. It is not possible. It can never happen. It was a struggle of the early church, and that's why if you read in this council, you know, it came to that council and they started discussing about it. They saw the person of Jesus are two natures, divinity and humanity, in complete unity without mixture, change, division or separation. So only difference is when Christ was human, there was no sin in his life. There was no evil in his life. He was God. And he was human. Why? Why is it so important? Because if Jesus was not a human, he will never feel our difficulties. He cannot be a true representative for us. He cannot be our sacrifice because he doesn't understand us. Jesus is able to understand us because he was 100% human, my friend. He's able to die for my sin. He's able to share in my struggles because he had been there before. He lived. He was thirsty. He was tired. Even at the cross, he said, Father, right? Why do you forsake me? I'm thirsty. When you look at the next slide, it says, without Christ being a man, we have only a shade of salvation and not the real substance. Jesus died for us, and he's a real substitute, my friend. He can understand my struggles, my pain, my fears, my problems, my temptation. And he's a real substitute, and if not, it becomes a shadow. I think that's what Jesus Christ wants us to know about him. that he knows our pain. He knows our fears. And he gave his 100% representative for us. He's our substitute who died for us. He can feel our pain. So sometimes I think it's important for us not to minimize the humanity of Christ. We begin to read in Scripture a lot, right? In Hebrews we read that he became flesh and he died for us. And so today, sometimes we say, God doesn't know my problem. Let me tell you, he knows. God doesn't know my pain. He knows because he has went through that, my friend. God doesn't know my difficulties. Let me tell you, he went through a lot of difficulties. People challenged him. God doesn't know my hunger. Let me tell you, he was thirsty too. He knows. Sometimes we think God is indifferent. He's not. He knows. He knows what's happening in our life. Next, when you look at this next slide, you know, I see the power of Jesus in this particular passage. Right? When I see the power of Jesus, it's so powerful. It's not like Jesus, you know, comes up and immediately does something. You just see how Jesus reacts to the situation. And the disciples were hit him. The first slide, when the next slide, when you look at, you know, one of the observations, you see that Jesus is calm. Many a times what happens when we are in a storm, we are afraid. The last family holiday, my family and I, we were in Phuket. It was, we were going to Phi Island. My two daughters were sitting in the front speedboat. You know, let me tell you, I will not sit there because it's so bumpy. You know, I was actually almost praying that the guy will reach the place safely. It was so difficult for me because it was so rough. And the way the guy was, you know, taking the speedboat, you know, you need to be praying like your last kind of a prayer. But Jesus is calm. I believe he saw the storm. He saw the waves. And he's not a fisherman. But there's total calmness in him. If you look at the next verse or slide, you begin to see that the next verse when you look at it, you know, you see that he's calm. He says, be at peace, he says. And so I think that's one of the struggles we have. When we have a problem, right, it's a bit difficult for us to be calm. We want to be doing something. What should I be doing? You know, but God says, you know, calm down. Because I'm in the boat. When I'm with you, you need not fear. Many of us, like the disciples, you know, we want to do and we are so frightened. Right? But Jesus was so calm. Next, look at the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? First, I see the power of God through his calmness. I see the power of God in his authority. Right? When you look at the next slide, you begin to see, you know, he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Can you imagine? It was raging waters. The Sea of Galilee, which is sometimes known as the Sea of Tiberias, right? The waves can go to 10 to 15 feet. If you visit Holy Land, right, by the Sea of Tiberias, they have a wall, a large wall, so that the waves will not come and hit the land. But what's happening here? Jesus' authority has been revealed. Even the storm subsided. Even nature listens to the voice of God, my friend. God is in control of not only our lives, but what's happening in the world. He's sovereign. Nature is in his control. There are so many things that's happening, but it doesn't happen because without the will of God, the plan of God. Everything is in his control. Sometimes we tend to say, like the psalmist, Lord, where are you? But God is in control. If you look at the next verse, it says, right, in Psalm 98, the psalmist says, Lord, you roll over the surging sea when it waves, mount up, you still them, God. Let me tell you, if you realize, Many a times we will belittle the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only Jesus is able to do this and that in our lives. But let me tell you, he has authority, my friend, over the entire creation, because he's the one who created everything. If that God who created, if Jesus created everything in this world, you know, he will definitely take care of me when I love him. Thirdly, when I see the power of God, not only I see his power, but he reveals his calmness. He reveals his authority. Look at his word, the last one. He says, like observation, his word. His word, you know, he did not say, you know, no, put down that anchor or put up this sails in that, or try to direct. No, no. Look at the word of Jesus. When you look at the next slide, what is happening? He says, where's your faith? Right? And he commands even the winds and the water, and they obeyed him. Let me tell you, there's power in God's word. There is power in the word of God. When you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his words, people were healed. By his words, my friend, you know, demons were released. By his word, Lazarus came out after 3 days in the tomb. There is power in God's word. There is power in his word, my friend. If you go to any church, you will say, start reading God's word, because there is power in God's word. And there is power in the word of God. You know, Jesus is able, just by his word, he commands even the winds. If he says, let there be light, there will be light. If he says, let calmness come, calmness will come. The question, do we believe in his word? Do you believe the word of God is so powerful? Two questions I want you to reflect on. If you look at the next slide, it says, what was your attitude in the last storm that you faced? What was your attitude? Right? How did you react to the last storm that in your life? And do you trust Jesus in the storm? Right? All of us are Christians, and we know Jesus is in our life. You know, we believe that Savior, the Savior of our life, the God that we worship. You know, we say the battle belongs to God. So wonderful. But do you trust Jesus in your storm, that he will see us through? Lastly, I want to finish with the last, you know, thing that we need to see about Jesus. The last slide, if you look at it, it talks about the person of Jesus. Right? The person of Jesus. Firstly, we saw the problem with Jesus. Sometimes we think that, you know, he's indifferent. He's not indifferent, my friend. He's tired. He knows when and how. Secondly, we saw the power of Jesus. He's calm. And he expects us to be calm too, because we want to be like Jesus, right? We want to be like him. When Christ is in the boat, we need not be afraid. Lastly, we see the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at the next slide, you know, it says, Jesus is asking, where's your faith? He asked his disciples. Where's your faith? And as I told you, and they were asking, who is this? Can you imagine? They know him. They know him pretty well. They knew his background. They know the teachings of Jesus Christ very well, the miracles that he did, you know, the people that he visited. They saw that he was feeding the 5,000. They even knew that he was a great rabbi. Probably they knew that he was a Messiah. But then they were asking, who is this? Who is this? I think when I look at this particular passage, it's not that they do not know Jesus, but I think God wants us to know him more. It's not that, you know, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, which is wonderful, but how much do we know him? I think none of us can say like the disciples, you know, we spend 24/7 with the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew what was his favorite food. I think none of us know, right? Whether he loves to walk, when is the time he will take a break. None of us know, but they knew. They had a very intimate relationship with Jesus. And even John, right, who's the beloved disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's writing these words, right? And he's saying, who is this? One of the things that I realize, I think God wants us to know him. I think none of us here, including myself, can say, I know him. Maybe I know him a bit. But God wants us to know him much more. Much more. God wants to be known, my friend. Right? I think today, how much do you know him? Because the more you know him, the more you'll be calm. Right? And God wants us to know him. Because we know, well, the more I know Christ, I know that he is in control. The more I can trust my life into his hands. The next slide, when you look at the next slide, it says, what's happening, you know, Jeremiah talks about it. He says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their richness, but let the one who boasts about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord. I came across a quote by this author, the next slide, and he said these words, right? He's saying, if the Bible carries one repeated message about God, it is that he wants to be known. Now, God wants us to know him. To know him. The more I know him, the more I know that he is in control of my life. Some of you will know this song. When you look at the last song, you know, when you were young or kids in the Sunday school, right, you would have learned. Right? And it's easy for kids to sing. But with Christ in the vessel, we can always smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. How many of you know this song? I know the song too. Right? With Christ in the vessel, we can always smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. Right? As we go sailing home. Sailing, sailing, sailing home. As we are sailing home to the destination that God has prepared for us. You know, we can always smile. Because you know why? Because crisis is in the vessel, my friend. Today we need to ask ourselves, is Christ in our vessel? Is Christ in our boat? If he's not in our boat, I think it's important for us to invite him. If he's in our boat, how much do you know about him? How much do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ? How much do you know? And how do you trust him in the storm that you're in? I do not know what kind of storm that you might be going through your life. It could be your health or finances or challenges in your life. But do you trust God in your storm? With Christ in the vessel, you can smile. Let's pray. There are moments in our life that God allows certain things to happen. You might be saying like the disciples, Lord, we obeyed you. You wanted us to go to the other side. We obeyed you. Is it what we get for obedience? Is it the results of obedience? That we have to go through a storm in our life because we trusted your word? Is it the outcome that we will face? Not only storm, but a greater storm in our life. But God wants us to know. The more we know him, the more we know he's in control. And like Paul says, there will be peace which passes understanding. Dear friends, let's ask ourselves, is Christ in my boat today? Some of you will say, yes, Jesus is in my boat. Wonderful. But how much do you know about him? Some of us will say, yes, I know about him. That's wonderful. But do you trust him in the storm? Father, help us. Help us, O God, to trust you in our storm. We know, Lord, that nothing happens in our life by accident, O God, but in all these things, Father, we help us to see Jesus. Help us to see his voice. Help us, Lord, to see you and to be like you, O God. Lord, if the disciples were like Christ, just calm and being in the boat because they know Christ is with us. We need not fear. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.